or a homeless guy, I mean, he would walk through the stores. And it was, at that time, it was pretty cold outside.
I'm having a real trouble understanding you. Maybe it's a bad connection. Becky, can you understand? Becky will respond to you. Go ahead, then.
All right.
Keep going.
At the time, it was around Christmas. It was kind of cold outside, and the guy was just walking through the store, and sometimes he would stop and look at magazines, and it kind of irritated me because of the fact that the manager called the police to pick him up. And I understand he was cold. I mean, he was cold outside, and he was doing no harm. He was not hurting nobody or anything, and it just kind of irritated me. And then
that the manager called the police on him for walking through the store. Is that what happened?
Sometimes he would sit on the benches, you know, just sit on the inside of the store when nobody, he was not bothering anybody.
And so he came through the store and he didn't buy any product.
He wasn't buying anything. It was like third shift. He
and
didn't bother anybody. He wasn't bothering anybody, you know. Or anything. He was just, you know, trying to stay warm.
So what happened when the police came?
That I don't know, but ever since that particular incident, I have not seen that particular guy.
So he was run off, in your view?
Yes.
And you felt bad about that?
Yes, I did.
So, Tanya, what city are you from in North Carolina?
Burlington.
Say it again.
Arlington?
Burlington?
Yes, Burlington, North Carolina.
Burlington.
And what's the story for people? I'm looking for the more fundamental things. I mean, it's true that people are discriminated against because they're poor when they walk into a store. The police department views them differently. But here in Fresno tonight, one of the big issues has been the right to sleep at night, in the sense that without being harassed or moved around, and actually we've gotten the courts to at least say they can't destroy homeless property. What's the situation for homeless people in your town in regards to that?
Well, we do have a facility here for the homeless, but I haven't really.
You know, I'm realizing that it's really hard to hear you. So let me apologize to you. Thank you for calling in, and ask you to continue listening, and hope maybe next time we can get a better connection. Thanks for calling.
I've got some more items from my list here, Robert.
The list is going to grow.
Okay, wait a minute. We've got no remaining in a parking garage longer than 15 minutes. That's subject to a $160 fine
if
you're
Santa
there
Cruz
after
laws,
16
yeah.
minutes. I know Santa Cruz best, so but some of these are in other parts of the country. No chalking on the sidewalk. That's hopscotch is illegal.
You were prosecuted for that. Yeah,
I know that one well. No lying down on a park bench. Actually, there are several illegal positions on a park bench.
Illegal positions?
Yeah, you can. There's a proper way to sit on a park bench, and anything outside of that is against the law.
We're going to have to preempt you, Becky. We have a homeless person calling in from Monterey Peninsula.
Oh, by all means,
Gio. Hey, Gio, are you there? Gio?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you are Gio?
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, you're calling in late at night. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Oh, right. What do you make of this conversation?
Well, there's one thing I'm really wondering from listening to this is somebody was mentioning earlier about people living in RVs or whatever. You know, I mean, someone who lives in an RV, a recreational vehicle, basically is not homeless for the fact that they, you know, saved their money all their lives and this is what they picked up. But now what I'm hearing here now is we're saying you are homeless if you live in a certain situation. If you live like under a tree or under a bridge or something like this. But let's face it, a person that lives in a car is homeless.
Well, I think the issue is whether wherever you live, are you being treated fairly? Are you being allowed to survive, to thrive, to do what you need to do, provided it doesn't interfere with other people? And what do you want to call people? Unhoused, homeless, living on the earth, or living in a vehicle? When they're in that situation in the cities we've been talking about, and indeed in Fresno, although that's been to some extent temporarily alleviated in one respect by a federal court decision here, you have a situation where you don't have basic rights. Where you are in the Monterey Peninsula, do homeless people have basic rights? By homeless people, I'm using the term very broadly, and I think you know what I mean by that term.
I don't know. It's illegal to sleep in a car on the Monterey Peninsula. I know that. And something else I know is this, is that if you're homeless, then you are not allowed, even if you have a post office box, you are not allowed to vote. Yeah, were you aware of that?
Well, actually, if they're doing that to you, they're violating court decisions as far back as the mid '80s. Because you are allowed to vote. If you don't have to have a post office box. You have to essentially state where you throw down your sleeping bag. You don't even have to be there the next day. And if you change your residence, you have a right to do that. In fact, you can establish a permanent residence even if you aren't at that particular location at any particular time, but you just haven't changed the residence. So you are allowed to vote. In fact, you, Mike, were talking about a plan in Fresno to organize people to vote in mass. You think that might have an impact on changing mayors who seem to have porta-pot-a-phobia, like Mayor Autry here.
If homeless people voted in this community, they could elect several city council members just in and of themselves. The numbers of homeless people on the streets in Fresno, if they voted, and they're told by government officials that they're not eligible to vote.
As you just told us, Joe, but it's not true. Don't believe it.
Yeah, it's not true.
You are allowed to vote. I got to go, though. Thank you for calling in.
And it's a felony to interfere with that.
Coming up next is Steve of Syracuse from New York, formerly homeless. And again, the phone number to call, 877-NOBODY-8, 866-LEFT-OUT. Again, 877-NOBODY-8, 866-LEFT-OUT.
Hey, Robert, do you want to give the website, too?
I might. Steve from Syracuse, welcome to the homelessness marathon. Homelessness.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Listen, I came in during the middle of this broadcast, and I was homeless for a time when I was just out of high school, which was quite some time ago. But, like I said, I came in during the middle of the broadcast, and I guess I'm a little bit confused by a couple of things that I'm hearing.
What are you confused about?
I keep hearing things like people are not getting their rights.
Uh-huh.
And I think what you're using the term rights about would be a very, very broad sense. Not that...
I'm actually talking about constitutional rights, like the Eighth Amendment right to be free from cruel and unusual punishment, for instance.
What are the rights? Please enumerate them.
Due process, the right to be tried, the right to be given essentially substantive due process, the right to travel freely.
The right to remain in one place.
The right to have equal protection of the laws, other citizens.
Absolutely. I'm not taking one.
Right. So, what is your concern?
I'm a little bit confused because when I hear people saying that they have the right to. And again, I'm not even sure what laws I'm
but
talking about.
Come to the point, what right do you feel they don't have that we may be suggesting
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm not sure if I understand. For example, where in the Constitution does it say that you do have the right to block a sidewalk or that you
we're not talking about the right to block a sidewalk. You have the right to be able to sleep,
to be able to sleep at night.
You don't have the right to a porta potty. You have the right, however, not to be arrested for something you have to do, like sleep. You cannot.
You're absolutely right. I understand that. I'm not sure.
Okay. And the right to a porta potty is sort of similar. You don't have a right to a porta potty, but they can't arrest you for taking a dump on this, wherever you're taking a dump, if they refuse to open public facilities. You can't have it both ways. You can't claim that you have to somehow make provision when you can't do it. So, where that right originates.
I came into the show. Basically, what I was hearing is that. People have the right to have encampments on public land.
Well, if there is no shelter, if there is no shelter, then they have the right to sleep where they need to. That's what the Jones decision in Los Angeles. That's what a federal court found in Los Angeles.
Sleep wherever they want.
Excuse me, not wherever they want to. If the city wants to set up designated zones, they can. But if they insist that everywhere is forbidden, that is a violation of the Eighth Amendment. And it constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. That's not my opinion. That's the Jones opinion by the federal Ninth Circuit Court. So you can take it up with them if you want. I got to go on to the next caller. I got two other calls coming up. I appreciate your calling in, Steve. Thank you. Don from Anaconda, Montana. You were formerly homeless?
Yeah. Hi, this is Don. Anyway, I just wanted to mention I was in pre-Katrina days in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's a lot of homeless there. It's got a nice climate. I never went there for that reason. I was getting a divorce from my ex-wife, who's from the Caribbean. I just happened to be there and went to graduate school in the South. But anyway, it's a tough time on the streets. But I'll have to admit that the New Orleans cops, as corrupt as they are and as horrible as everything went down there, those days, Drew, and they, all of the rules that you've been going over, pretty much, they had been through before, because they definitely had the facilities for you if you wanted them. If you wanted to stay sober, you know, you could stay almost anywhere, good meal or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a tough life out there. But
how's Montana?
Well, no, it's, you know, it's different here. Like right now, we're getting about 6 inches of snow. It'll be below zero probably in a couple days, but I mean...
The weather's nasty. What about the... How do the authorities treat homeless people?
You know, pretty decent considering there's not a lot. In the summer, you get some in Butte, maybe a few around here, but not often. I don't know how they treat them, tell you the truth, because it's such a...
Well, you better do some research. I want to hear a report on what's going on out there in Montana. All right. Thanks for calling in. 877-NOBODY-8, 877-NOBODY-8 is the number to call. You can also check homelessnessmarathon.org if you are a net browser. And 866-LEFT-OUT is another phone number, 866-LEFT-OUT to call. I'm Robert Norris, and in the studio with me is Becky Johnson and Mike Rhodes on the line. Not saying much, but patiently listening is Peggy Lee Kennedy. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Do you want to hear a funny law?
Go for it.
In the city of Santa Monica, which is right next to Venice, it's actually a separate city and has its own ordinances, different than Los Angeles, but, you know, just as mean.
What's the law?
You can't brush your teeth in a public wash basin.
Well, we don't want them homeless people messing up the public wash basin. Who gave the homeless the right to brush their teeth in a public...
Inappropriate use of a sink.
Where does that right come from? Come on, now. Let's get real here. You know, get a job, will you? For heaven's sake. We also have another caller. By the way, the number 877-NOBODY-8 and 866-LEFT-OUT. While we're taking the next caller, Cynthia from Fresno. Ah, the land of the free, Fresno. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi, Cynthia. Are you there? Hello? Cynthia?
Cynthia!
Looks like you were dropped.
Okay,
again, we have another 15 minutes in case you want to call in, and you can chat with us. Oh, it's a kind of an open topic line, although we're kind of talking about the criminalization of the homeless and the laws that criminalize the homeless, and where do we go from here up? Mike, you're here in Fresno. You've won a victory in the federal courts. You've gotten bunches of lawyers interested in the case of, you know, stopping police from destroying homeless property, which in Fresno really means stopping the police from homeless sweeps while they're sleeping at night. What has happened in Fresno recently that I was worried when we talked in Santa Cruz some weeks ago that the police would begin to enforce laws like 647J, and please, officers, when you're listening, don't get any ideas. It's the penal code that lets you arrest someone for lodging, but it requires a jury trial, so it's not so easy to enforce, and it would tie up the courts in a nasty way if you started arresting people for it. But some jurisdictions do. What are the problems homeless people face? What's the next challenge? I know that you kind of whispered to me earlier, porta potties.
Well, you know, that's what we want to get. We want things to get better, and we want the city of Fresno to provide trash bins and portable toilets for homeless encampments. One of the things that they've done, and sort of in this theme of draconian laws that they've passed, is a shopping cart ordinance, which criminalizes the pushing of a shopping cart, and they can fine somebody, I think it's $1,000, or maybe it's $10,000, and put them in jail for up to a year for pushing a shopping cart.
Is that frequently enforced?
What they've done, I haven't heard of any arrests for this offense, but what they have done is go out and dump homeless people's property out of the shopping carts and haul them away. So they've got...
haul the shopping carts away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crews of police going out to homeless encampments and rounding up all the shopping carts.
Interrupting you quickly because we have a sudden rash of callers.
Oh, okay.
Cynthia, you're back. What's cooking? Cynthia? Cynthia?
Cynthia?
Calling back.
Okay, Cynthia, quickly, what can you, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I'm just glad that people are recognizing that homeless people are human beings. I'm calling because my dad had lived on the street. He's passed away, but I have a lot of sad memories, and it makes me feel really good to know that, you know, everybody is taking consideration that homeless people are people too.
It would be nice. It would be nice if that were true. That's for sure. I appreciate your call, Cynthia. Thank you, Rick from San Jose. You're on with
us. Me.
Hi. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I became homeless over 3 years ago when the police sort of like they. It's not that they really set me up completely. Well, yeah, they set me up for a bust. I wasn't completely. Without blame for what they were claiming, but I wasn't, you know, they exaggerated everything. I lost my house that was paid for. It was a...
So where are you? Are you living, like, are you living alone in an encampment, in a vehicle? Where are you?
Oh, I'm living alone in a car. I sleep in my truck that the engine blew up, and I've got a van to replace it that needs some work and a car that's for sale.
Is it illegal to sleep in a vehicle in San Jose, or...
For 3.5 years, yeah. And the cops are Nazis. They're totally mean, unconstitutional, rude. They harass you. It's the worst damn... Santa Clara Valley is the worst valley in the world.
Well, one thing you can...
I grew up here. It used to be great.
You know, one thing to do, Rick, is just a suggestion. You might contact the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry in San Jose. They've been fighting for homeless people's civil rights. That's called CHAM. I don't know if you know about them. Another you might look them up in the phone book, Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, CHAM. Another thing you might consider doing is, and this is not so easy, but again, is realize you have the Jones decision on your side in that if they're going to harass you in your vehicle, of course, they can always say, well, good, well, you know, we'll take you to a shelter and we'll stow away your vehicle. So it's a kind of a catch-22, and I haven't gotten any it's really hard for people in their vehicles.
Well, the shelters are incubators of sickness. What happens is that, you know...
I know that.
You know,
what I'm saying to you, Rick, hang on, what I'm saying to you is not that you should go to... I'm not saying you should go to a shelter, but I'm saying that if you demand they take you to a shelter, they won't be able to because they don't have shelter. And therefore, they'll have to leave you alone. At least that's the theory of the Jones decision. I've got a bunch of calls coming in. I appreciate your call. Give you a quick last word.
Also, a person could... keep a log of everything that happens to them when the police are
definitely
harassing
good suggestion,
and
Peggy.
Like get their cards, because sometimes when they give you a card they write helpful things on the back, like exactly what they did to harass you, which is kind of interesting.
Right. All right, we got thanks for calling in, Rick. I got Mick, it looks like, from Santa Cruz. Is that right, or is it Mike Santa Cruz? Mike's gone. How about Mary Lou from Fresno? Are you there, Mary Lou?
Hi.
Hi, Mary Lou.
I had a comment, and then if you're interested, I had a poem I wrote about the homeless here in Fresno.
Okay, before you give your comment, I'm going to give out a couple of phone numbers so we can fill up the lines. 877-NOBODY-8, 877-NOBODY-8, and 866-LEFT-OUT, 866-LEFT-OUT. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay, I think the reason... the mayor and other officials are afraid to improve anything, such as providing such a basic thing as a porta potty, is they're afraid that word will spread that others will come to this town.
Everybody will want to come and take a dump.
Ah, the famous homeless magnet theory.
Send them to other towns.
Sorry, Mary Lou, say that again. You're saying everybody will want to come, right?
That they can chase them off and force them to, Right. The other towns.
Unfortunately, that's the false theory of every town. They have the same fantasy, the same paranoid fear, and you know it's generally not true. I mean, there are some exceptions, but generally, it's not true that people want to rush to a town just because they're putting in decent sanitary facilities for visitors. I mean, there got to be better things than that would draw you to a town. You know, I mean, you know, people have to. They can take a dump in the bushes, although it's not, as you probably know, you know. So
you're not going to go across three states because there's a porta potty open. It just doesn't happen.
I'm not saying it's a rational fear.
Right, it's not rational.
That's part of their thinking.
Right, that's true. So the problem is we have people who are thinking irrationally, the same reason they thought that blacks were, you know, had to be kept around the back and, you know, Hispanics, you know, or, you know, the whole racial inferiority thing is irrational. The question
I think
is,
we had an irrational panel a little earlier
today.
Yeah,
we had
definitely
an irrational panel. They're not really, the politicians aren't really irrational. They are simply,
the danger of porta potties, that came up.
They're simply opportunistic. They don't feel we have any power. And there is the key. Mike Rhodes, how do we get power? How do homeless people get power in Fresno?
You know, I'll tell you, Robert, One of the best things that happened was a conversation we had months ago when you said, they're doing what in Fresno? Well, why don't you get a preliminary injunction? you take power into your hands and you move forward. We started legal proceedings against them. We've had demonstrations in front of City Hall. We have constant coverage on everything they do.
And the homelessness marathon.
I've passed out cameras to the homeless people so that they could document the attacks upon them. The police and the city have had to back off. They've now admitted they had a failed policy and they're changing.
Well, I commend you for your service, and this is really what we need, is consciousness raising.
Mary Lou, we got time for about four lines of your poem because we got two other callers. So give us a quick line or two.
Home with glitter. Excuse me, ma'am, do you have any spare change? Oh, miss, can you spare any change for something to eat? God bless you. Pardon me, ma'am, I need to get my wife back to Portland. Lately when they rush at me, I recoil with fear and anger. I forget that could be me. She was Jesus' little girl. He was somebody's baby boy. When did I fall off the path with a heart?
Gotta
what
go.
Kept me?
Thank you for that part of the poem, and thank you for the call. Karen from Columbus, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Karen.
I had a question here, and I know this sound off the wall, but there was a law years ago, right, that stated that if a person was living in an abandoned building, they had to live on the land for so long, right? Did the land belong to them, or, you know, had they had ownership of it?
You know, I think it varies from state to state. I know there was a law in New York City that had to do with, and also I think in California, that allowed people to purchase a piece of property or a building for the back taxes if it was abandoned for a certain period of time.
Yes, right.
You know, but I'm just not sure of, you know, the specifics in any state, so I can't give you any information on that.
Because I was homeless at one point myself, you know. It's awfully funny that mayors can turn around and look down upon you and think that it's funny, you know, that these people are going through this. And you know, they're supposed to be the heads of your community trying to get, you know, people help. They're laughing.
Yeah, they don't. They are really, you know, they will not respond to pleasantries. They will not respond to pats on the back. They will respond to pressure and power. That is what they respond to. And I guess what Mike Rhodes was talking about before was what we have to do. We have to protest. We have to demonstrate. We have to mobilize people who are housed to support us. We have to do lawsuits. We have to form tent cities. We have to write news stories about it. We have to do marathons like this. I appreciate your calling, Karen. Take care. Chuck from Cleveland, you're not homeless, but you're on the homelessness marathon. Hello.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm fine.
All right.
You know, you people, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited or anything, but
no, go ahead.
The one thing you're talking about, all that stuff you just talked about, the, what did you say, the
human rights of homeless people.
Yeah, the human rights and the just ran on a whole laundry list of different things.
Of things homeless people should do to secure those rights. Yeah.
But one thing you don't talk about is them not being homeless anymore. I mean, they just get a job and stop doing drugs and stuff like that, and they won't be homeless anymore. How come nobody ever talks about that? I mean, I don't understand.
That
seems like the most direct route to not being homeless anymore.
I agree with them.
You know, in Santa Cruz, a person is homeless on the average of 4 months. So people do fall into homelessness, and then they do get back out of it. That's quite a common experience.
Wait a minute, ma'am, but you guys aren't talking about that.
No, we aren't. We're talking about what do you do. What we're talking about is what you do with people who are in a homeless situation. While they're there, they have the right to be treated like human beings, even if you prefer to think of them as bums and trash and scum and drug addicts.
Well, you know, also, not all homeless people are alcoholics and drug addicts, and a lot of them do work.
That's right. We do. Thank you.
So
that's the voice of our anonymous homeless panelist here.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Are you homeless? I just heard the guy in the background say, "We do." Are you homeless, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
We have a couple. You're listening to different voices here.
Yes, sir, I am. I am homeless.
Okay, sir. You don't make enough money to pay for an apartment, sir. Is that what you're saying?
I wish I did have make enough money to pay for homeless. I would not be homeless.
I couldn't. What did he say?
He said that he wished he made enough money to pay for an apartment, in which case he would not be homeless. But Chuck, we got to wind it up. So make your last statement because we got to go out.
Where does he live and how much?
I live here in Fresno. I live in the Mission.
You live in a Michigan?
Yes, sir, I do.
He essentially is a homeless person without an income at the moment, right?
At the moment.
Right.
At the moment.
Yeah. So at the moment. So Chuck, thank you for calling. I apologize. We got one more caller. You know, you raised the point. It's important people get out of homelessness. I agree with that. And indeed, that is a key thing to do. And you get out of it by housing and jobs, no question about it.
Thank you. You're right. I agree with that, man.
I've got to roll to the next caller, though, but thank you for calling
but
in.
But the job has to pay you enough so you can be housed.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good point.
I agree with you.
Anna, Syracuse, New York, formerly homeless. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, actually, I used to live in Baltimore, Maryland. I became homeless when I couldn't finish college in New York. When I was homeless, I had no idea what to do because it was the first time I was on my own. And I was not on drugs. I did not drink at the time. And I really didn't know what resources to have. But now I work with at a university in Syracuse. And it's really not improving. It really is about knowing what resources to have. And it's not about stupid minimalizing where you just say get a job and really, that's why I try to help people on a kick, you know, as an individual when I see them, but I know I don't have much time, so that's I'll just end my comment there.
Thank you
for this program.
Sure, thank you for calling in. Christopher Blooming from Bloomington, Indiana, formerly homeless. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, there are certainly people that choose homelessness as a philosophical choice.
Not many.
Maybe and that's my point. It's certainly it's not the majority.
You got about 15 seconds, so they're winding up fast.
I have questions about how many homeless people, what's the percentage of homeless people that are mentally ill and incarcerated people, if you happen to know that statistic.
God.
Okay, I don't have those figures. I thank you for calling, Christopher, and maybe the next
about 85%.
Maybe Christopher, the next person will. Thanks. Bye bye. That's about it for this segment. We're going to be continuing through the night, and we have. I want to thank Mike Rhodes, Becky Johnson, and the unknown man at the mic at the end of the table.
Let me give the Huff website, www.huffsantacruz.org. Check it out. We have lots of articles about Santa Cruz and going on.
And stay tuned. We're going to have a short segment followed by a long segment, and you'll have another chance to call in. 877-NOBODY-8. Thanks.
You are listening to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, produced in conjunction with KFCF Community Radio for Fresno, California. The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily those of the producing or participating organizations or of the originating or affiliated radio stations. To view the webcast of this broadcast, order CDs, or contact the Homelessness Marathon, go to www.